أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We continue with Surah Abbas, verses number 17 onwards. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره. Perish man, how ungrateful is he! From what has he created him? He has created him from a drop of seminal fluid and then proportioned him. Then he made the way easy for him. Then he made him die and buried him. And then, when he wished, resurrected him. No, indeed, he has not yet carried out what he had condemned, what he had commanded him. Now, these verses, again, are related to the one who came to the Prophet, or the ones who were gathered around the Prophet, but were arrogant, and those people who felt they are needless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it refers to the attitude of those people. The relation with the verses going before is that since Prophet was told that he has to attend to those who go to him with fearful hearts, and people should not be very much worried about those who are arrogant and think that they are needless of this admonition, it now explains, describes the position and attitude of those type of people. Perish man, how ungrateful is he? Now, قتل الإنسان is a sort of dua or curse. It's one of the most detestable type of expressions that one can say about someone else in asking something evil for them. Now, you might say that how come that Allah here is praying or asking something for someone while everyone should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the style of language, of course. We understand, all of us, that Allah is using our language. It has somehow come out of the frame of dua and asking, has found an expression of putting curse on someone, or putting or describing someone as being very, very evil. قتل الإنسان ما أكفره. May man be perished. And of course, by insan here, it refers to not every human being. Although every human being, except very few, go under this category of being so ungrateful to their Lord, and also covering what Allah has shown them in terms of His signs. Now, ma akfarah, how ungrateful is he? You know, the root meaning of kafara means to cover. And of course, since rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is covering up what we understand from His signs, is covering our own fitrah and our own understanding about God, that's why it's called kufr, or rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we take ma akfarah in terms of the root meaning of kafara, not in terms of the meaning which becomes disbelief or ungrateful, it means how extensively he covers whatever signs he sees and he observes around himself about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether around himself or inside his own existence. So, how ungrateful is he? Or another meaning would be, ma akfarah is sighatu ta'ajjub, is a formula for showing amazement. So, how ungrateful is he means, of course, it's very amazing how ungrateful is he. The other meaning of it, which some exegetes have mentioned, is that it's not in formula of showing amazement. It's just a question. What has caused man to be so ungrateful or to be so much covering whatever signs he sees around himself about, of course, him being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, these signs are explained in the following verses. So, in a sense, the verse is saying that despite these things that I'm going to explain, these things that man can see and can sense very easily, every day we can sense this if we think about it, but what has made us to become so ungrateful? What has made us, or what has made man, an ungrateful man, a disbeliever, to be so much covering the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not letting it to guide him towards the right path? Now, let us start from himself, this man, this human being. If he just looks up into his own creation, what does he see? And by seeing this, then how come he's so ungrateful or he's so arrogant? How is it possible someone seeing these things about himself becoming so arrogant? مِنْ أَيَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what has he created him? Of course, he here refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no previous mention of Allah here because, of course, it's very obvious that it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no creator but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, from what he has created him? مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. Nutfa is usually a small, mean quantity of water is called nutfa. Sometimes big quantity of water is called nutfa as well, like, for example, a river or a small pond or even a big pond can also be called nutfa. Metaphorically, of course, but usually it's a small quantity of water which is seen as mean and base. Here, of course, nutfa refers to the water from which human being is created. Min nutfatin, from a drop of seminal water he has created him. Now, every human being can see this, and then by growing out of that nutfa, out of that small drop of water, then he start to become arrogant. He start to say things against the one who created that one drop of water. So, مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ. He created him. Because خَلْق here, of course, doesn't mean bringing from nothingness to being. Although that would be one of the meanings, but usually for bringing something from nothingness into being, the term bada'a or fatara is used. Alhamdulillah, fatara as-samawati wal-ardh. Fatara means bringing someone from nothingness to being. But khalaqa means to construct something, to change what is already existent and give it a new shape. This is the meaning of khalq. And that's why we can be khalq. Human beings can be khalq because we create many things, we construct many things, but we cannot be fatir. We cannot bring things from nothingness, out of nothingness into being. Although, of course, when we look into our imagination, we might say it is possible to bring things out of nothingness. That's another world, of course. That's a different dimension of us. But in the material world, it's impossible for us to bring things out of nothingness. This is only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So he's mubdi', mubdi', bringing things from nothingness, out of nothingness, to being. And fatir, the same thing. And khaliq, of course, he's khaliq as well. And here, مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ. Here would denote that this small drop of water was created after a long process. And it was, because we know that initially human beings were not created out of this nutfa. Initially they were created out of dust, as Adam and Eve, alayhim as-salam, were created. But then after a long process, this nutfa came about, this drop of water came about from which human beings were created. So this drop of water. It was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a long process. مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. And it was not only creating that drop of water. There were many, many, many things which were destined, decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go with this drop of water. قَدَّرَهُ means he measured many things with it, that this nutfa should grow, should become a human being, should develop hands, feet, eyes, tongue, understanding, mind, everything. So he decreed that in that one drop of water. And anyone, of course, reflecting on this issue, that from what have we been created? And then what potentials have been put in that small drop of water? We really become fascinated, and every heart should become humble towards the one who created that drop of water and brought it to this type of process, which becomes a grown-up human being with understanding, with feelings, and whatever is related to human beings. So, مِن نُطْفَةً خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. And then proportioned him. Now here proportioned, of course, is a meaning, probably the best simple expression or single expression given to قَدَّرَهُ. But we know there are lots of meaning in it. We cannot just describe قَدَّرَهُ by one simple word, proportioned. The term قَدَّرَهُ means put lots of potentials in it. And that's why some exegetes says قَدَّرَهُ is not from taqdeer, it's from قُدْرَة. It's not from decree of Allah or measurement of Allah, it's from power. It means this small drop of water Allah empowered. He put lots of potentials in it, which of course gradually these potentialities became realized in this human being. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Now, look at the letters which join these sentences to each other, the عطف. مِن نُطْفَةٍ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَهُ. And then, of course, then here means that while this nutfa was still being created, while it hasn't passed, while not a long time had passed, lots of potentials were put into this nutfa when it became fetus, when it became just a baby inside the womb, lots of potentials were put in that. And then, after a while, thumma, of course, denotes a longer distance between the two, longer while between the two sentences. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ. Then he made the way easy for him. When this nutfa was given those potentials, when it came to this world. Of course, some exegetes say that ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ means after this nutfa, this small drop of water, were given all those potentials and grew in the womb, then Allah made the way easy for him to come out of the womb. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ made the way easy for him in a way that as soon as it grew, just like a fruit over a tree, that as soon as it grows, it drops. Even if you don't pick it, it would drop itself. This, of course, nutfa also was given this type of potential that as soon as it grew, it just found the way outside the womb. Allah made this easy for this nutfa to come out of the womb. But maybe this is not the best meaning for it. It means that after this nutfa came out, then Allah made the way to understand, to realize, to find out what is in his best interest. What way should he choose? What way should he adopt and go? We made all these things easy for him by giving him reason, rational understanding, putting things in his fitra. All these things we made so that this nutfa, this small drop of water, can find its way in the life, in this, of course, perplexing life. Now, some exegetes have said that
the previous verses.
من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره would denote a type of jabr, a type of compulsion. It's Allah who has made all these things, made that nutfah to come out of this, to come out to this world, and then therefore everything that we undergo is just a compulsion. We don't have a choice. It's Allah who measures everything, and we have to follow that measurement of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, the destiny which is already predestined for us. However, this verse wants to counter that imagination or that type of understanding. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ means, although this is all His destiny, that you should come this way, you should come to this world, and that nutfa is created in a way with all those potentials to come this through this path. However, then the path is made easy for him to understand. It is him then who will choose what path he should go. And of course, sabil here means the right path. The right path he made easy for him to find out. And he made easy for him to find out denotes that, of course, it's not something that he necessarily would go, not something predestined for him. But if he wants to find that right path, if he wants to go along that path, it has been made very easy for him. He can find out very easily. And of course, we have given him lifelines as well. Prophets come. Even if prophets weren't there, this nutfa should have found his way towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have given him extra support, sending the prophets to him to find out what is the right path. So everything has been created for him in a way that he can find what is good for him. So, ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ then he made the way easy for him. Now, if you just put your imagination at work, whatever you see in this world, civilizations, philosophy, knowledge, science, architecture, whatever you see around yourself, these bonds of relationships, networks of human societies and human relations, whatever you see around yourself is just because Allah has made these easy for these drops of water when they come to this world to create, because of the potentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in these drops of waters. And sometimes it's good when you look around, you somehow just draw the clock a bit backwards, the clock of your mind, and see everything which goes around you or to whom you are connected as drops of water, as small drops of water running, walking, drops of water walking around you, thinking, talking, philosophizing, having feelings, the strong feelings, and having attitudes, inclinations, and all these things. And it's not far-fetched. It's really something which, if we imagine, it's not nothing more than that drop of water with those potentials put into him or put into it, becoming this sort of course, grown-up creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a soul which can realize who is his creator, with a soul which can be given the highest knowledge that any creature can take, even above the angels. So this is how we have created him. ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَ Of course, this drop of water should not think that we have left it to himself or to itself. Should not think that despite these facilitating way for him, giving everything that he wants, empowering him, قَدَّرَهُ, despite empowering him, he shouldn't think that he can run and escape, run out of our power, escape beyond the realm of our power. It's not. Because look around yourself, these drops of water which are walking around you suddenly just stop and drop. These drops just splash on the ground. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ Then he make them die. أَمَاتَهُ Of course, this أَمَاتَهُ denotes one thing at the beginning, and that's these drops of water do not go out of our power. We have at one moment the power to just, these bubbles, we just hit them and they go. They
They just splash and go. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ. But the other thing is that then we have destined something even more for them. Something which is above and beyond what you see in this world. It's not only this world, these powers and potentials that we have given to this drop of water. It's even something beyond it. Then we made them die. أَمَاتَهُ. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. And have them buried. أَقْبَرَهُ. Of course, here means we have them buried. Not that we buried them. Because قَبَّرَهُ is if you yourself try to bury someone. But أَقْبَرَ means if you have someone buried. This is how the creation is made, of course, in general. People die, others bury them. ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. And we have something more in mind for this drop of water, whenever he wishes, and then when he wishes, resurrects him. He would given him another life. Ansharahu from Nashara means when you untie something. When something is tied, it is folded, something is folded, and then you unfold it. Again, we unfold you. We fold you. These drops of water, we fold them in small, tiny particles, and then again we unfold them in a new life. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. And some exegetists say that this إِذَا شَاءَ, whenever he wishes, means that no one knows when this is going to happen. And this is what, of course, we have in the Qur'an, that no one knows when the time of سَاءَ, when the time of resurrection comes. يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاءَ. People ask you about the time of the hour, the time of the resurrection. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. No one in the heavens and the earth is aware of that. Not even angel Israfil, who blows into the trumpet, knows when that will come. It's only by the order of Allah at that moment which he realizes that this is the time. So this إِذَا شَاءَ, whenever he wishes, means you have, not only you, drops of water, don't have any knowledge about this and don't know when this is going to happen. Even the archangels don't know. This is only in his hands. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَ. Now, this is a very short story of human life, or the process of human life. If you look into it, it starts from when we are a drop of water, and then it ends when we are going to be resurrected. And if you look into the Quran, there are in many several places Quran mentions this story of human life, the whole lifespan of humans from the beginning to when they are going to be resurrected in very, very short episodes. Here, of course, it's very short. من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة it starts from here من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره. Now, this short episode gives the whole story of human life from the beginning to the end. And this is why some people are really amazed about the eloquence of the Quran. This is why they say this is i'jaz. One aspect of i'jaz, or miraculous nature of the Quran, is how these big meanings, how these far-fetched concepts are put into very, very short expressions. And that's why the Prophet, peace be on him, apart from the Quran, he said that أُوتِيتُ جَوَامِعَ الْكَلَمِ. I have been given the quality or the power of putting big meanings into simple and small expressions. And this is what, of course, Prophet, peace be on him, did. Another instance when this is this whole story of human life is mentioned in short expression. For example, I just give one example, because this is mentioned in many places of the Quran, is for example in Surah Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We have created human being, and we know what his own nafs whispers into him, and we are of course closer to him from حَبْلُ الْوَرِيدِ. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ
عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد. I'm just looking the number of the verses to for those of you who want to refer to it. Now, this is also verse 17 onward from Surah Qaf, as this was verse 17 onward from Surah Abbas. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. When the twin recorders record his deeds, seated on the right hand and on the left, he says no word but that there is a ready observer beside him. Then the agony of death brings the truth. This is what he used to shun. Then the trumpet will be blown. This is the promised day. Then every soul will come accompanied by a driver and a witness. You were certainly oblivious of this. We have removed your veil from you, and so your sight is acute today. So this is again from the beginning of this world when we have two angels recording up to the point when we go and visit our Lord in very, very short expressions. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Now, this لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا, you were certainly oblivious or ignorant of this day. You didn't know that this is what was destined for you to come here. Is very much related to the following verse which we are going to discuss here after ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. And then when he wished resurrected him, no, indeed, he has not yet carried out what he had commanded him. Again, this is talking generally about human beings. He has not yet carried out what he has commanded him. Means when we resurrect them, of course, many of these human beings, especially this human being, this type of human being which was being discussed here at the beginning of the surah, amma man istaghna, the one who feels independent and arrogant, this, when we raise them, they are incomplete. This is, of course, a pity. This is a statement of pity and remorse, that after all these, after giving all these potentials, after making everything easy for this man, then when we resurrect him to bring him close, when we raise him to give him what we have destined for him right from the beginning, put him beside ourselves in paradise, في مقعد صدق عند ملك مقتدر, we want them to sit beside the big king, the king of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, they come incomplete. What should we do with them? كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِ مَا أَمَرَهُ. Now, مَا أَمَرَهُ here doesn't mean that's in command in terms of legislation. Command in terms of creation. This is what most of the exegetes have said. This has nothing to do with legislation, that we ordered him to pray or we ordered him to fast and he didn't. Because these are not Muslims, these human beings that Allah is talking about them. No. What we had commanded that this human being should become, what we had decreed that this human being should become, that all of them should become like myself. This is what Allah has destined for us, isn't it? Abdi ati'ni aj'aluka mathali. My servant, obey me, I will make you like myself. I say be, it will be, and you say be, it will be. This is what Allah wants to give us eventually, isn't it? This is what is destined for this drop of water. Something which cannot go into our imaginations at all. As we discussed previous week or the week before, that after a while people in paradise receive a letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that this is a letter من الحي الذي لا يموت إلى الحي الذي لا يموت, a letter from the one who is living and never dies to the living who never dies. And then Allah says, I am the king, and whenever I want something to be, I say be, and it will be. And today I empower you to do the same thing. Whenever you want something to be, you say be, and it will be. And in some versions of this tradition, I don't dare to say it, and it's really amazing when you see these things. This type of destiny, or this type of destination, which is set for us, in
what some versions is not من الحي الذي لا يموت. It's هذا كتاب من الحي القيوم إلى الحي القيوم. This is amazing. Because قيوم is someone who sustains things. And Allah says, whatever you create in paradise for yourself, whatever you wishes for yourself, you sustain them. You become like me. This is what Allah has destined for us, isn't it? So it's big things, something very, very huge and outside our imagination is destined for us in paradise. However, of course, when most of human beings, or many human beings, when they come out of their graves, when Allah gives them, unfolds them again, after folding them, unfolds them again, of course, they are incomplete. And what should Allah do about them? Kalla lamma yaqdi ma amarah. No, indeed, he has not yet carried out what he had commanded him. It's just like the verses we have in Surah Qiyamah. After Allah says that this man, وَقِيلَ مَرَّاغ, people, the man is dying, people are going around him, bustling here and then, saying, who can do something? Where's the magician? Where's the doctor? Someone do something for him. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفَرَاغ. And but he himself knows that this is the time of departure. And now, what can I do with him? فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. He never confirmed what the Prophet said, never confirmed my position, never gave a charity, wala salla, and never prayed for me, never obeyed me, wala kan kathaba, wa tawalla. Whatever he did, the only thing he did in his life was just denying and turning away. Now what can I do with him? This is exactly the same thing as Allah is saying here, kalla lamma yaqdi ma amarah. No, indeed, he has not yet carried out. He has not yet, of course, yet, but there is no other chance. All chances were lost in this world, and he has come to us incomplete. He has not yet carried out what he had commanded him. Now, this is, of course, one episode giving to us to think about. And then there is another episode coming. فَلْيَنْدُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. So let man observe or consider his food. And this is going into another type of argument and admonishment, which we leave, inshallah, for next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. Very interesting section and very interesting explanation as well. Thank you for that. Just if I can ask you here, you mentioned that in Jannah, as Allah says, that we will have power, whatever we wish we'll have, and whatever we want, we'll be able to create. When we believe, for example, that the prophets and the imams who are so close and they have this such powers in this world as well, would it not be right that they also, I suppose, due to the wasila of them, they can actually make things happen for us if you are desperate for that?
In this world,
yes. Yeah.
Well, we know that they did, like, for example, what Jesus Christ did. He even brought the dead back to life. So this is empowerment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it's not comparable at all with what people are given in paradise. I mean, the power they are given in paradise is unimaginable for us. We just think it's rivers and gardens and these things. But it's just the context in which we are put. But what we do there is, of course, out of our imagination. Certainly, some human beings in this world are empowered in a way that are not imaginable for us. Think about Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, the way he was empowered. Think about that man who was given ilmun min al-kitab. قال الذي عنده ilmun min al-kitab. And he brought that huge throne of Bilqis from Yemen to Sulaiman in a blink of an eye. Of course, this is empowerment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you. Sisters? Brothers? surprise. Yep.
Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum.
Sheikh, from Hadith and Riwayat, do we have any idea what these people who will be given these enormous powers will actually do with them? Will they spend their lives enjoying themselves? Or how much closer to Allah will they try to come? Or will they try to create new societies and civilizations like us? What will they do with this when they become like Allah? With these people in Jannah, when they become like Allah and have these powers, what will they do?
We don't know. Completely out of our knowledge. It's just like if you, when you are in the womb, you want to think what will people do when they come out of the womb. Completely unimaginable for us. We don't know. And that's why the Quran doesn't allude to it. The Quran only mentions very, very simple, basic things about the material life that they have. And that's all. There are traditions which give some hint, for example, that since that's the point of Tawheed, whatever, for example, you drink water, there are all types of enjoyment in it. Here the enjoyments are compartmentalized. You drink water, you enjoy drinking water, but you have to eat food, for example, for another type of enjoyment. You have to, for example, marry for another type of enjoyment. You have to do something else for another type of enjoyment. They say in paradise, whatever you do, all enjoyments are combined into that activity. This is something we cannot even think about it. It's impossible for us to think about it. So I don't think we can really understand. But let us loosen our imagination and think that, for example, if you want to have a universe for yourself in paradise, and what if everyone wants to have their universe, the universe of their own, for example, in paradise, and have their own creations and other things? We don't know. We better stop imagining about these things, because that's a world which is beyond our imagination.
Thank you, Sheikh. Any sisters? Brother Haider?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaykum.
Just to refer to this question, what do you do when you die? You know, you hear a lot of things about after you die. In here, you wake up in the morning, you go to work.
Yeah.
When you die, what do you do? You sit there. This is not my question to do with
we
today.
We cry.
No, but it's really, it's a big problem, you know, because the Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam, one of the things he asked Allah, please give me something to do. Mm-hmm. And Allah taught him how to do, you know, all the weapons for war. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very important. So when you do what? You wake up in the morning, do what?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you are referring to Alam al-Barzakh only.
No, Alam al-Barzakh is something in between. We'll come to it in a minute.
You mean in...
Afterwards.
You mean in paradise?
In paradise,
what we
right.
do? Well, I just said we don't know what we do. It's just we sit beside Allah. And what Allah does, we do as well. And it's the meaning of Abdi Atani Aj'aluka Masali. Obey me, I will make you like myself, something like myself. And of course, that doesn't mean then we have several gods, because all these who are like Allah are empowered by Him. And if He just pulls the plug on them, everything would crumble. But we know that He never does. And they are living just like the King Himself. But what type of life it is, we don't know. As I said, it is not possible for any fetus to imagine what type of life they will have when they come to this world.
They wouldn't believe it either as well. If you tell them, listen, you're going to come out and you're going to see people and cars and humans.
They would not believe it, do they? What's a car?
This question came about if somebody asked, you see, because the thing is, in the Jewish religion, they don't discuss the life after. In the Christian religion, they tell you just there is life after, and that you believe and you become. In our religion, no, it goes into depth, into what it is and what you do and things. And that's what questions sort of ask. Back to your...
Now, you know, we have a verse which clearly tells us that فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت وما خطر. This is of course a tradition. وما خطر على قلب بشر. There are things there that no eyes have ever seen, no ears have ever heard, and not have struck the imagination of any human being. This is what is there. So, yeah.
فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ. This is the verse in the book. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. No soul would ever know what Allah has concealed for them there, have in store for them there in paradise. It's impossible for us to imagine.
I understand that. I understand, you know, because in the Quran there are quite a few things which says, you know, وَلَوْ أُنْ قُرْآنَ سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالِ, that you can, in this life, you can move mountains with the Quran. Never mind the next life. And جَعَلْنَا بَصَرَكَ حَدِيدٍ, you can't make your eyes becomes like iron.
Yeah,
so it's understand. It's just I wanted to know, what do you do?
The point is, what we do in this world, because you say, well, we do things in this world, but in the next we don't do anything. The Quran says that what we do in this world is play and sports. There is no meaning behind it. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ لَحِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. It's the next world which is the real life. So we should know that it's next world which is real life. This world is just play. And whatever we do in this world, when we go to the next world, we just laugh at it, that we were doing these things. Yeah.
Thank you, Sheikh. Sisters? Riyadh?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much for your lecture. Sheikh, I just want to ask you about the concept of be and it is. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to give humankind control over the dimension of time, would we be able to be closer to being achieving be as it is? Not necessarily in the life in the hereafter, but even life on this earth. If Allah were to deem that we could have control of that dimension. I mean, just to give you an example. If you think of the creative process, if you had enough, if you had a keyboard that was typing at random, and you had an infinite number of keyboards typing at random, somewhere in infinite time, you could have the complete works of William Shakespeare, conceptually. So if that infinite process was accessible to you in terms of time, so you just had the one keyboard, but available for infinite time, but to you it's just a moment, because time is no longer a consideration, you could have that creation in front of you immediately.
We can say that even in terms of our ordinary life, as soon as human beings imagine something, then they will eventually make it. I mean, think about all the creations that human beings have made: computers, cars, airplanes. I mean, one day human being wanted to fly with something, but it was impossible. But the process, the time allowed it, and now we very easily fly with aeroplanes. It was at the beginning an imagination, but then it was realized in the course of time. This is true, but it's not just to say be and it is, and this is the difference. We need to go through processes, we need to work, we need to think. Allah doesn't need that, of course. And this is what we are going to be given later on, that we don't need to think and to go through processes. We just want something and it will be. This is something which is similar to God's action, not similar to human's action. And this is, of course, the difference. And that's why in every place, when something seems to be very strange, for example, Maryam, alayhi salam, says that, how can I have a child while, of course, I don't have a husband and no man has touched me? Allah says, this is what he wishes, and whatever he wants, he does. When he wants something to be, he just says, be, and it is. It doesn't need process. It doesn't need what you think, that in the action of human beings, usually you have to go through many different processes to create something or to make something. So what human being is given in the hereafter, as you say, is just taking that matter of time and also matter of thinking, in the sense that we have to try hard, we have to make efforts and all these things. It's just like God doing things without effort, without exerting lots of energy, and then, of course, process of time.
I can understand, you know, when you said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to think about whatever that needs to be created. It says be and it is. And the difference is mankind would have to think about the process by which they would create. and the example you gave was about flying. But I might not be using the right words here, but isn't there an element of thinking in the design? That is to say, how these things fit together. Like, for example, if you want something to be created, why do you want that thing created, and how does that fit in with everything else? So, not just the creation of that thing, but why that thing should exist.
Wisdom. You need wisdom there, isn't it? But, you see, for us it's impossible to think that some being can have wisdom and can design things and their destination without thinking. Because this is our means. Because we cannot do things without thinking. And if we want to attribute this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that He needs to think. He needs some time to think about things, then to design them. This is the difference of Allah with human beings, of course. His wisdom is beyond thought, is beyond exerting this effort of thinking and then putting things in order. And how can we imagine that? We cannot. It's impossible for us to imagine, because we are beings which do everything through the process of time. Now, the example that you gave about keyboards, that's in the infinite time, we are going to create, if these keyboards work randomly, in the infinity, something like Shakespeare's work would come about. This is, of course, an example which is usually given, but there is no proof for it. Now, it's an example given in retrospect to the creation of this world. They say, okay, if we eliminate God from the world, how this world has come about? By all these molecules and cells randomly going about. They say, well, in the infinite time it's possible, because it's with permutation or putting numbers together, then we can think that it is possible. But no one has ever, outside this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one has ever experienced it. No one has ever put this under test, because it's impossible to put it under test, because we don't have access to infinity. And we don't have access to infinite things. So the only example is this world. And they say, it is possible because you see this world. Now, we say that, well, we question this premise, because we say this world is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you say that it is possible, for example, that if you have infinite keyboards working for until infinity, then something like a book of Shakespeare would come about, prove it to us. Yeah, I mean, who can prove this? It's impossible to prove, and it's impossible to disprove. So it's just a philosophical thought.
Thank you, Sheikh. Sisters? Nizar?
Sheikh, can I just mention an analogy and I'll come to my question? The analogy is that if I went for Hajj, and if I went as an individual, and say if I knew no one there, but they're all, alhamdulillah, fellow Muslims, it would be fine. It would be fun. It would be useful. I'd be able to do everything that I wanted to do. But if I went in a group of people that I knew, close to me, close to my heart, etc., it adds value. It's more fun. You can do everything that you intend to do together. I know when we talk about paradise, when talk about life hereafter, Allah is going to assess us on individual basis, individual merits and performance. But I'm just wondering, is there anywhere along all the hadith and ayah, does Allah actually mention at all the concept of teamwork? In other words, group of people, you know each other, some of them do well, some of them not so better, but you'll be able to support each other and you'll still reach your destination. And if it is so, please include me in your team.
Now, you please include me in your team, but I don't think there's any work there, so that we need teamwork or individual work. There's no work. You see, the concept of work in itself is something which we have to eliminate from our dictionary.
By work, I mean work in this world.
Oh, working in this world in teamwork,
that's right, yes.
to achieve.
Exactly.
Well, we are all doing that, isn't it?
Yeah,
we are all doing
it. But will my performance, if it's not at that level, be supported by your performance, which may be above the level? And then you pulled me in and said, yeah, come along.
Is it not the concept of shafa'ah? That we support each other by this concept of shafa'ah. And shafa'ah is not only for the Prophet and Imams. We have in many traditions that a good person in a community, in a family, would do shafa'ah for those who are under him. And in many traditions we have that, for example, if someone does something good, Allah says that I allow you to do shafa'ah for 40 members of your family or 40 members that you love most or whatever. So I think it's a teamwork. And also we support each other in other aspects as well. For example, we recite Fatiha for each other when we die. Or we give sadaqah for our relatives or our loved ones when they pass away, for example. And we do dua for each other in this world. So it is a type of teamwork that we are doing. And if it was not due to this teamwork, I think only very, very few elect people would have reached their destination. And eventually it is that magnet of the Prophet, peace be on him, and all other prophets, which attract those who are left behind and take them to paradise. But yes, in paradise, of course, then there's no work, so there's no teamwork.
Thank you. Sisters? Zuhair?
Sorry, there are two parts. The first one is in Surah Al-Hajj says, وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. You mentioned that we also create. I mean, there are other verses where you can see that mentions that they worship those things which they have created.
Yeah.
The idea here is that they don't actually create anything. How would you explain that?
Of course, khalq here is used in the meaning of creating, for example, a living being, which of course is out of the control of human beings. Sometimes khalq is used in the meaning of fatara or bada'a. But usually khalq is something which could be attributed to human beings and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other verses we have, for example, وَتَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكَ. You create lies. This is what human beings can do. Khalq is, of course, something which can be attributed to human beings. As for example, in other verse we have وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ. Making a sculpture is said to be khalq. So in those verses which khalq is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is either a khalq of human beings, of souls, or it is used in the meaning of bada or fatara. But it has two meanings. It has different meanings. So human beings can do khalq, as for example, in the case of making a sculpture, which is called khalq, إِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ or تَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكَ. And what the verse you mentioned is repeated in several places in the Quran, that they worship things which do not create anything. Now, they might even refer to idols, which really do not create anything, which are just stones and wood, and they cannot create anything whatsoever. Or it might, if it refers to human beings or angels, they do not create the way Allah creates things.
The second part was that in terms of Fatir or Bari, where very few verses we find in the Quran, whereas in terms of Khaliq and Khalq, there are two, you know, plenty of verses. Is it that man is being challenged that you cannot even create something in this respect, let alone be a Bari or a Fatir? Is that the idea?
Yeah, it is possible, yeah.
Sister Zani, last question? We are having a last question from Haider.
More again, Sheikh. I'm allowed the privilege of asking one more question, I think, today. It's the last time they're going to allow me this. Sheikh, it's one thing on the surah you read in Abasa. You see, when it says, من أي شيء خلقه in this life, من نطفة فقدره in this life, ثم السبيل يسره in this life, ثم ماته فأقبره in this life, ثم إذا شاء أنشره. Is that in the next life or is it in this life?
No, and sharah, of course, is just resurrecting.
So it's in this life, not in the day of judgment, afterwards, or is in
no,
this life?
No, and sharah is on the day of judgment, certainly. And sharah is certainly on the day of judgment. It couldn't be in this life, could it? I mean, what do you mean?
No, I don't know, because it seems the sort of the verses all talking about this life now.
No, of course, then there is some bridge between this world and the next. That's the death, isn't it? ثم أماته فأقبره. Then puts him in the grave. Then whenever he wishes, he resurrects him from that grave. So it moves from this world to the next
one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you very much, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salwan.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.